Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
I'm Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, 11 Atlanta teachers convicted for cheating on standardized tests. A 12th teacher was acquitted. We'll talk to two of their attorneys. Commons graduation keynote speech canceled at a New Jersey college for a song he made 15 years ago that ticked off cops. My panel will tackle that. Also, singer-songwriter Melanie Fiona joins us to talk about teaming up with Hyundai to fight childhood cancer. The Stella Awards airs this Sunday on TV One. We'll bring you some of the great things happening at the best gospel show in the country. Plus, we'll break it down some of the crazy stories on What the Hell Thursday. And our Blackest special airs tomorrow right here on News One Now. We've got one last sneak peek for you. Time to bring the funk on News One Now on TV One. Referred to as the largest cheating scandal in history, 11 of the 12 Atlanta teachers on trial for deliberately raising student scores on standardized tests were convicted of racketeering yesterday. The convicted were immediately arrested and face up to 20 years in prison. This is what the judge had to say.
I was playing from early on, and they have made this decision, and they've not fared well, and I don't like to send anybody to jail. It's not one of the things I get a kick out of, but they have made their bed, and they're going to have to lie in it.
Joining us on Skype in Atlanta, attorney J. Kevin Franks, who represented Diane Buckner-Webb, one of the 11 convicted, and on FaceTime in Atlanta is attorney Sandy Wallach, who represented Dessa Kerr, the only defendant to be acquitted. Gentlemen, welcome. This has been obviously very controversial in Atlanta. It's going on for a couple of years. What do you make of this? I mean, I've had teachers reach out to me who said this was an abomination, that this hurt their reputation, but more importantly, it hurt these students because it's going to hinder them for the rest of their lives as a result of this cheating scandal.
Good morning, Roland.
Sandy, one second. Go right ahead.
Okay. Interestingly enough, Roland, one of the things actually that Sandy pointed out in his closing argument was that this had a witch hunt mentality to it. There were kids who were cheated in schools, and we actually heard from educators who came in and admitted to cheating and told exactly how they cheated. The thing is that Diane Buckner-Webb was not one of the people who cheated the students in this case. I strongly believe that she was caught up in a witch hunt mentality. There's an effort on behalf of people in the community to be able to place blame on somebody so that they could then move on. But there are a lot of cultural dynamics that are brought into play here. And I'd like to go ahead and let Sandy have a say.
Sure, Sandy, go right ahead, because you represented Dessa Kerb, the only defendant who was acquitted. So go ahead.
Well, I think that it's not only an abomination for teachers, it's an abomination for lawyers and for justice. The way that this trial was handled, the way that these defendants were charged with RICO, brought to trial altogether, 8 months of a trial, physical, you know, with the auditorium style, this was not justice that you would want for yourself or for your family.
So, what really was the case here, Sandy and Kevin? I want to go to you, Kevin, first, because the allegations were that they profited from raising these test scores, were able to generate money for themselves, and that they were involved. When we say racketeering, that this was a plan that was planned and carried out in order to fudge the scores of these students. That's what the prosecution alleged.
I understand, and that's interesting for two points, Roland. First, the racketeering allegation, it ought to cast fear in the hearts of every citizen of the state of Georgia. Basically, the state argued that you did not have to have a plan. You did not have to have an intent to engage in a scheme with others to be considered a racketeer. And that was actually their argument in our case. There was no evidence presented that my client, Diane, had gotten together with anybody. But more importantly, specifically for her, Diane was a second grade teacher. The state's theory was and is that the test scores were the cheating occurred in order to reach targets. And interestingly enough, the second grade test did not count toward targets. Mm-hmm. There was no way that Diane, even if she had cheated, could have cost her school to reach targets in order to be able to receive any money. And interestingly enough, Diane did not receive any money. There's no allegation that she received any money. In fact, during the trial, the state, one of the many things they spent money on, created a board to discuss how there was all this bonus money gained by teachers. And the actual amount of money that was gained by teachers in that courtroom was $4,500, Roland. $4,500.
Sandy, I want to go to you. Last question before I go to my panel. And that is, the decision has been made. The judge had the teachers taken immediately into custody. What potential jail time are they facing? I said earlier up to 20 years, but what's likely they're going to actually face?
We don't know. The judge has made clear many times since he's had the case that anyone who went to trial and was found guilty was going to face severe consequences. That goes against everything in our Constitution in terms of exercising your rights and exercising your right to a jury trial. It's essentially what we call a tax for going to trial. What we hope for is that these folks are treated the way that we would want them to be. These are not folks that need to be in jail. These are not folks that need prison time. We certainly don't agree with the verdict, but be that as it may, these are folks who need to get on with their lives and move on. And it's not going to do anybody good for them to be sitting in a prison.
All right, Sandy Wallach, as well as J. Kevin Franks, we appreciate you joining us on News One Now. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
I want to go to my panel, Julianne Malveau, President Emerita of Bennett College for Women, Cleo Monago, behavioral health expert, Drew Elon's lifestyle and political blogger. This story got lots of attention, all across the country. And again, I've heard from a lot of teachers who said, look, I have no pity on these teachers.
Roland, it's very interesting. I agree that one should have no pity if they were cheating. And of course, they said that the financial incentives were about $4,500. The flip side of this, I have little sympathy, but I want to put it on the table, mm-hmm. is the extent to which teachers are judged by standardized test scores, which may or may not reflect the capacity of students. Doesn't mean you should cheat, but let's just look at what's happened in the last decade with teachers. It doesn't matter about content. A lot of teachers teach to the test. So they're not worried about whether you can write, mm-hmm. whether you can do arithmetic. They're worried about whether you can pass a test.
Well, in fact, I saw there was a photo of, it was a superintendent in Texas, posted a photo earlier this week, where they had no classes for the whole week. He took a photo of their big billboard. They had no classes for the whole week to prepare for the test.
Right.
And he said, this is absolutely illogical that you cancel class to prepare for the test. I gotta go to a break. Hold on one second. I'm gonna pick up on this when we come back. We also will talk about this New Jersey University dropping Common as the commencement speaker. The students wanted him to speak, but police officers protested and were mad because of a song he made 15 years ago. We'll explain that to you. Also, Melanie Fiona and Hyundai have joined forces to fight pediatric cancer. Plus, Ricky Smiley talks smack, and Yolanda Adams gives out fashion advice in our Stellar Award preview. 8 after the hour, News One Now on TV One.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now.
Folks, let's go back to our panel. So we were talking about this cheating scandal in Atlanta, and it certainly roiled the system there. The superintendent, Beverly Hall, she always maintained that she had no involvement in it, wasn't aware of it. She died of breast cancer before. Mm-hmm. She said that she was too sick to go to trial, and she recently died of breast cancer. So what do you make of this? I mean, is this a chilling effect, or does it send a signal to teachers and administrators that, look, folks are serious about the education of kids and about rigging cheating, because I mean, I know that was a cheating scandal that took place in Houston as well.
So I guess, you know, going back to what Dr. Melvo said about the whole teaching to the test, I think that has also caused, I guess, the No Child Left Behind has caused this whole atmosphere of we've got to do better on tests and not necessarily concerned about the learning and the ability there and the whole concept around that, especially in the public school system. But with this case in itself, when I saw that it was a RICO charge, that was astounding. And yes, it should put some fear in some people's hearts and minds about how are they going to go about helping our young people achieve those tests. But you know, I'm kind of with the people that say, you know, I do have sympathy, meaning I don't think they need to go to jail. I think they should be able to pay a fine and have the opportunity, all opportunities that afford you due under due process. But, you know, we have to make a determination as a nation for our educational system. What is it that we want? There were parents who were really upset to find out my child is not doing as well as they said based on the test. So what are the measures that are out there for us to understand that?
Look, Cleo, I get the concern about the focus on testing in this country. I mean, I get that. But if I'm involved in whether or not there's a focus on that, rigging a test, changing scores, boils down to right and wrong. Right. Whether or not you think there are too many tests out there, mm-hmm. it boils down to is that right or wrong?
Well, it's wrong. I mean, of course it's wrong to rig the tests. But I have to admit, in terms of symbolically watching all those black people, those middle class black people be handcuffed in droves like that, and that judge going off like that, it was definitely chilling to witness. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what that's going to do to the thinking of our kids as well, in terms of actually witnessing that. But you're right, when you get down to the bottom line in terms of right and wrong, of course it's wrong to rig tests, but something about it, though, seems severe. And you would have thought they murdered somebody by watching the judge. The judge act like they had went out and killed all the kids. And I was just wondering what was behind all that intensity, because I used to live in that area, and there's a lot of real bad crimes going on. And I'm wondering why he was so triggered to be acting like that they had done some mad scientist experience on these kids.
But it is, you know,
also keep in mind, 11 were convicted,
right.
Former teachers and administrators, but 21 others had already pled guilty right. to lesser charges. So right. this wasn't just these right. these 12. I mean, it was upwards of 40, you know, 40 folks who were charged.
People who shoplift get a lesser sentence, are convicted for lesser than 20 years. I mean, to me, a fair punishment would be suspend.
Okay, first of all, fact, they have not been sentenced.
They've
been convicted. They face up to. It is based upon what the prosecutors, but the judge also can have the discretion based upon the law in terms of what the sentencing range could be. So they could get probation, they could get fined, but the law simply states if you're convicted on this conspiracy charge, you face up to 20 years. So I just want to put that out from a fact standpoint.
That's fair to say, but the judge's intensity, as Cleo said, seems to me inappropriate. I mean, people do second degree murder, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe not first, but second degree murder, and are treated less harshly. These folks should not, in my opinion, they were wrong. They were absolutely wrong. They did cheat our kids. There was a young lady on the news last night who said, you know, I graduated from high school and I'm reading at the middle school level.
Right.
And that's what one of the challenges is. But the other challenge, as you say, is teaching to the test, which forces teachers essentially to be measured by what kind of test folks pass.
Teachers and administrators here.
And there's multiple choice crap. Excuse me, but crap is like the SATs and others. They don't measure anything. They just measure your ability to fill out a box. Beverly Hall was a distinguished educator. Now, there are challenges here, but there is no connection from what I can see between the superintendent and these 30-some teachers.
No, I got you. But again, what I'm saying is, but she was one of the folks who was charged. She did not go to the trial because she said she was too sick to do so, and she recently died because of breast cancer. I got to get to this next story, and that is Common was invited to give the commencement speech at Keene University in New Jersey. Well, police officers there in New Jersey protested because Asada Shakur song was called A Song for Asada, done 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. She was convicted of killing a police officer and fleeing to Cuba, where she still remains. Yep. King University released this statement, quote, "The students expressed interest in Common because he composed the Oscar-winning song Glory with our prior commencement speaker, John Legend. While we respect his talent, Keene is pursuing other speaker options." They initially said also that it was premature to announce that he was a speaker. I'm like, okay, you already had the doggone agreement. Right. What do you make of police unions protesting Common speaking for a song 15 years ago?
So for me, up goes the blue wall again. And their way of saying or trying to protect some sort of image as if all police officers are perfect and good and are doing these things. And so even when you read into the case of Asada, excuse me, Shakur, there are so many different discrepancies around
That's right.
Even the particular police officers recanting or state trooper recanting some of the things that he said. But ultimately, the students wanted him. And I don't understand why the school decided to just kind of acquiesce and decide not to go with them, other than
they buckled.
Buckled and maybe had a fear of, you know, how they did in, I think it was Cleveland, when they said, we protect, you know, the football team and so blah.
St. Louis. With the hands that don't shoot.
Yeah, and saying that we protect you. So I'm sure they put pressure on them about, these are the things that we do for you. Why can't you do this for us?
What I find interesting about it is that Common just got finished saying, and I have to paraphrase because I don't remember the comment literally, but he said something about we should love.
Extend our hand in love.
We should extend our hand in love to white people to basically resolve racism.
Right.
Which was such a wonderful BS, in my opinion, but loving perspective. And in the midst of that, he's still not trusted to speak at a commencement speech.
Right.
And this thing with Asada, I think it's important that the public knows that this occurred in the 60s and the 70s, in the midst of the Black Panthers, mm-hmm. which Asada was a member of, the Black Panthers were, mm-hmm. they came into being because of police brutality mm-hmm. and Black people being murdered left and right, including some sleeping in their own beds. And so it was not a fair context in which Asada was tried and convicted.
You know, and beyond that, there is reasonable doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not overwhelming doubt.
Absolutely.
But there is reasonable doubt about the case of Asada.
Okay, here's a
We have the case of Joanne Little, who was so-called, she was shackled, and then theoretically, how does a shackled person shoot a police officer?
Right.
So there's reasonable doubt, number one. There is a student, there's a former university administrator. The student should have had...
Go beyond her conviction. Here's my whole point. It's a song that he did 15 years ago. I'm not going to argue the facts of her case.
Right.
He did a song 15 years ago.
It was about her.
I understand it was about her. But my point is, he does a song 15 years ago. He just does a song with John Legend, Glory, that wins the Oscar dealing with Selma. And now all of a sudden, the cops are saying, well, no, you can't speak. Because a song you did 15 years ago.
And what is the statute of limitations on something like that? We have seen
There ain't no statute of limitations when it comes to racism, y'all.
We have seen melanin deficient people do all kind of craziness, and 2 years later, forgive them. You have, excuse me, Caucasian people biting prostitutes, and 2 years later they show up mm-hmm. on television. So I do think you're right, Roland.
Who the hell is that? Who are you talking about?
We'll talk about it later.
Who are you talking about?
Let's bring that all back up.
But you know, there ought to be a statute of limitations. I mean,
gotcha.
And there isn't.
But there is no statute of limitation when it comes to racism and bias
and
the lack of trust of a black.
And here's a piece here.
And
although this case happened in New Jersey, King University, this is why they are not credible, because how can you stand up as a university and talk about freedom of expression and talk about freedom of speech, and then you could sit here and say, we absolutely disagree with the song.
And talk
but
about,
if
talk
the
about
students,
students' rights.
If
talk
the
about
student said,
rights.
That's who we want, and it's their commencement, not those police officers, not those unions, and if they want to protest, say, you have the exact same right too. But McKean University, y'all wimped out for not allowing Common to speak, and it's as simple as that.
And y'all racist. And you guys are biased.
And you should have allowed
y'all can keep talking, but I'm going to a break right now. Coming up on News One Now, R&B star Melanie Fiona and Hyundai's Zafar Brooks joins us to talk about Hope on Wheels program to fight pediatric cancer. Also, Yolanda Adams, Tamela Mann, and Bobby Jones were in the house at this year's Stellar Awards. We'll take you to the red carpet a little later. Plus, we've got a lot of crazy stories in our What the Hell segment. Hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter at News One or at Roland S. Martin, or go to our News One Facebook page. 23 after the hour, News One Now on TV One.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
All right, folks, two-time Grammy Award-winning singer Melanie Fiona is fighting pediatric cancer as a new Celebrity Hope Ambassador for Hyundai Hope on Wheels. The program launched in 1998. It's a joint venture between Hyundai Corporate and over 800 dealers nationwide to find a cure for childhood cancer. Melanie joins us on Skype in New York, along with Hyundai Executive Director Zafar Brooks. Melanie, what's happening?
Hello.
All right.
Good things happening in New York. I'm well.
Absolutely. And so last year it was Michelle Williams. Why did you want to work with the Hyundai when it comes to Hope on Wheels?
You know, it's an honor. It's really an honor. The work that they've been doing for 17 years is fantastic. You know, it's benefiting kids, and what better way to lend your energies than to the hope for children and pediatric cancer. I mean, children are amazing. They're absolutely the future. They're such an amazing source of inspiration for all of us every day. So, you know, it's giving is paying it forward always. So I'm just thrilled and very honored to be part of it, for sure.
Well, a lot of folks obviously don't understand how significant it is. I mean, the amount of money that is spent privately when it comes to children's research for cancer is nominal compared to what we spend on other things. I'm one of the national ambassadors for St. Jude, and that's one of the issues that we talk about as well in terms of the focus on children with cancer. And so it is certainly a serious issue. Zafar, how much money has been raised in the last 17 years, and what is your goal for this year?
Thanks, Roland. Well, you know, we've raised $102 million for pediatric cancer research since we started. That's actually how much money we've donated to research directly. We're pretty proud of that. And, you know, there's a lot more work to do. Certainly, we can't put out a mission accomplished flag yet, but we're really honored that this year we're going to award $15 million new dollars to research to 72 institutions all across the country. St. Jude, by the way, is one of them.
So when you say those 72 institutions, are they nonprofits? Are they hospitals? Are they organizations? What is that comprised of?
So these 72 institutions are actually children's hospitals across the nation. There's an organization called the Children's Oncology Groups of America, and the children's hospitals that do pediatric cancer research are members of that group, for which, of course, St. Jude is. Right here in New York City, we will be awarding grants to Memorial Sloan Kettering. We'll also do to the New York Presbyterian Children's Hospital and Weill College of Medicine. So you can go on the website and see the list of the winners that we'll be announcing later tonight with Melanie at the Javits Center.
So what inspired Hyundai's interest in this endeavor, particularly cancer, regarding helping young people? What's this inspiration for that?
I missed the first part of that question. I think you said, what's the purpose of that?
What's the inspiration for Hyundai to get behind such an important cause?
Yeah, so you know, Hyundai believes in giving back to the communities in which we live and work. And pediatric cancer is the leading cause of death by disease for U.S. children. And so this is a really big and important issue. And we wanted to lend our voice to the issue. And we're really glad that Melanie joins us this year as the 2015 ambassador.
You know, I think your cause is extremely important. And I want to thank both of you for doing this work. But I want to ask you if you think that government has done enough on pediatric cancer. The focus tends to be on breast cancer. Cancer, mm-hmm. which is important, mm-hmm. perhaps prostate cancer, heart disease. Do you think that government has gone far enough to look at pediatric cancer?
Yeah, the short answer is no. The NIH funding for pediatric cancer is about 4% of the funding they spend each year for cancer research. This is an actual statistic that if you saved every child with pediatric cancer, you would save more years of life than you would if you saved all the adult patients. And the reason that is because kids get cancer at about age 6. Mm-hmm. Adults get cancer at about age 67. Mm-hmm. So the years of productive life, in an ironic way, while there are 15,000 cases of kids' cancer a year, would actually be more. So from a priority perspective, we'd love to see more money go to that research because these kids, as Melanie said, this is our future.
Yeah. Melanie, what has it been like for you to actually meet these parents and these children?
You know, I'm really, really looking forward to it tonight at the Javits Center. I'll be doing a performance, and there's going to be a whole car ceremony, and I'm really excited, looking forward to it. Zafar and I have been talking about doing hospital visits throughout the country because they have affiliations with different hospitals. And, you know, I can only imagine it's bittersweet because I obviously, you know, that they're going through something traumatic. It's something very serious, and you're there to instill hope and maintain inspiration. And at the same time, it's inspiring for me to see such strength in these families and what they're going through. I think it's beneficial for all parties involved because there's inspiration being shared on both ends. And, you know, children, they're just such a great source of inspiration anyway. So these stories, some of the stories that I've heard and have learned about is just phenomenal. Some of these kids I'm looking forward to meeting tonight, really.
All righty. I have got to go. I surely appreciate it. Thanks a lot. How can folks get more information?
You can go to our website today, HyundaiHopeOnWheels.org, or you can follow us on social media. We'll be tweeting and posting throughout the day. And if you're in New York and you're in any cab in New York, or if you're in Times Square, you'll see a big picture of Melanie, where we welcome her as the ambassador of hope. Today is her kickoff day, and you're the first person we've had a chance to share that news with, that Melanie is the 2015 Hope on Wheels National Youth Ambassador, National Hope Ambassador.
All right, Melanie, it's always good seeing you. Zafar as well, and you were here last year, brother. I'm still waiting on this Hyundai SUV. You told me last year, you promised it, but, I mean, come on.
It was recorded.
All right? And I ain't talking about like a little race car. I'm talking about like with keys. All right. I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Coming up, we've got gospels, fashion do's and don'ts from the red carpet, the Stella Awards. Y'all want to see some stuff? Forget the Grammys and the BET Awards. You know they're going to wear some stuff at the gospel show. Also, I teach actress Yara Shahidi how to do the nod in our Black and Special sneak peek. Yeah, I had to show. Maybe there's a certain way you do it. You don't know the nod?
No.
You ain't really Black. All right. 27 before top of the hour. News 1 now on TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, folks, the gospel world set it off in Las Vegas for the 30th annual Stella Awards. We caught up with some of gospel music's biggest and brightest stars on the red carpet.
It's getting bigger. It's out here in Vegas. It gets no better than this.
Welcome to the Stella Awards 30th anniversary celebration of television's first showcase honoring the best and the brightest in gospel music.
I'm excited today. I just won my first Stella Award ever last night for the video of the year.
Yes.
I was telling Don Jackson today, I was a little girl watching the Stella Awards in Rockford, Illinois.
Wow.
So to be involved and to be here, I'm really, really blessed.
I'm hanging, enjoying Vegas.
Yeah,
the Stellas all day, rehearsal, all that kind of stuff.
It looked like they poured you in the dress.
You don't talk about my sister like that. Don't you see Dr. Bobby Jones and Pastor Sherman Caesar?
Well, I'm a part of the Stella Awards,
yes,
so it brings me by being a part.
Yeah.
When I have an honor to give to someone, the Legend Award is in my name and honor,
right.
So I'm gracious to be here.
I am so much appreciated to the Stella Awards because they really helped my career to win.
Glad to be here this year to support all the other artists.
Yeah.
It's great. It's like a family reunion.
We're celebrating 30 years of the Stella Award.
Yeah.
Shout out to Don Jackson, man,
yeah,
and the team for all your faithfulness and bringing this together every year, man. Thank you.
You're watching the Blue Wave Show.
Stellars,
tune in.
To be a part of all the festivities that we're doing this week, so it's going to be great.
What are you wearing?
This is the sherbet suit we have in our pastor's anniversary.
And why are you wearing it?
Why am I wearing it?
Yes, why?
Because it's Shaw.
What you wear, that's the fashion. So then.
I wanted to do something with you. I love it. I've been able to feel like this.
I am wearing a dress by Walter
Well, just tell me to that.
Well, I am wearing a dress by designer Millie.
Okay.
I was actually like, wait, I'm a Millie dress?
Praise God.
You know, I mean, I'm kind of oozing out a little bit.
Roland Martin loves fashion. So we gotta talk really quick.
He's always wearing those apricots and stuff.
Yeah.
Keep it tight with them apricots.
You call them apricots?
Apricots.
Ask God, sir.
wherever.
Right.
I don't wear them. See, I'm not there. I'm not fashion right.
No, what is the most essential part of a man's wardrobe, though?
Suit fit. The suit tailor.
Oh, you gotta be tailored. It's only the watch.
Apricot.
Good night.
Okay. What ambient noise.
Now, what do you think?
I think it's my girl. The greatest accessory to me,
to you,
that every woman should have.
Yes.
After salvation.
Come on, stop with that. After that, where do you go?
I'm wearing clothes.
What?
And shoes.
Yes.
No socks.
Huh?
Clean drawers.
Yes.
Hey, Roland, I was inspired. Yeah. My jacket was inspired by the ascot you be wearing. So I took my ascot.
Where does this ascot come from?
I don't know what it is. Casket linen.
Inside of the casket is where he usually get those ascots from.
So I took one of your ascots and went and got with the Hancock fabric, got the same material and made a whole suit coat out of it.
And he be sharp in the sandals, though.
Hey, dude.
Slingback. Anybody wear slingback sandals, that means you can barbecue.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Roland Martin. I know you're going to start talking that Texas A&M Alpha by Alpha talk. It's all about the Q's and Roll Tide.
It's all about Jesus. Look, I ain't no Q's.
All right, Roland. We'll holler at you later.
We love you, Roland. You ought to be here, man. Something you shouldn't miss this one up for.
If you could describe the Stella Awards in one word, what would it be?
American.
Outstanding and phenomenal.
Amazing.
Dreamy.
Epic. Awesome.
Milestone.
Amazing.
Goodbye.
And he was serious.
Who in the hell is Ricky Smiley and David Mann to be talking about? You saw what they had on? Looking like the 101 Dalmatians, that outfit they had on. I know they didn't.
No, all I can say, Roland, is except for Yolanda Adams' dress, I can't think of anything that I would put on my body.
Wow.
That I just saw. I mean, huh? And it does give a new meaning to the word gospel.
Cleo?
I don't want to see them in church.
I was telling the doctor that I had to self-edit for the rest of my life on TV because I don't understand what Jesus is inspiring. It looked like a cartoon.
Says the man who ain't never wore a tie on this show.
Oh,
I mean, ever.
Well, I ain't ever going
to wear some of those ties.
Exactly.
All right, just, I'll hook you up. Well, don't miss the Stella Awards this Easter Sunday right here on TV One, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. All right, folks. let y'all know. All right, come on. Scroll up. Let me go. Coming up, first of all, we got birthdays. Guys, shout out to our birthdays. Ooh. Actor Dion Richmond, known as Kenny.
I know.
He's 27.
When you still known as Kenny, you ain't done nothing since. Singer Tracy Braxton, she turns 44. Lord, Tracy got regular color hair right there. Normally, you know,
that
she come on
regular.
Here.
No, it's not.
Y'all don't see when she come on here. Normally, her hair look like your outfit, your shirt, Cleo.
Oh.
Also, tomorrow, singer Leona Lewis turns 30. And comedian Ari Spears, he turns 40.
Oh,
and, of course, the great comedian Eddie Murphy, he turns 54. Also, on this day in the history, in 1855, John Langston becomes the first African-American elected official when he's elected clerk of Brownham, Ohio. In 1984, John Thompson of Georgetown University becomes the first black coach to win an NCAA basketball championship. Mm. And in 2005, James Bubba Stewart, Bubba, becomes the first African-American to win a major motocross event. Now, you know, it's a new world when black folks are in motocross.
Hey, we're everywhere.
I know.
Black folks are everywhere.
You ain't lying. We all over the joint. All right, folks. Appreciate that. Thank you very much, panel. Drew.
Thank you.
Cleo. And Julianne Malvo, but you mean, well, yeah, don't get me started. Y'all. She
don't
was talking a little, she tried to talk a little Alpha Delta trash earlier. I said, calm down.
Trash.
You know Alpha's your daddy. Coming up on News One Now, Lamar King, Ashley Dibby, and Lorenzo Big Zoe Gamble. Oh, your mic's still on, but Alpha's still your daddy. But What the Hell Thursday. Also, I give Yara Shahidi a quick lesson on how to do the nod in our Blackest special sneak peek. And Julianne, nod to the Alphas. That's what you need to do right here. Hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter at News One or Roland S. Martin. Or go to our News One Facebook page. It's 16 after the hour. This is News One Now. Alpha on TV One. Alpha.
Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Today is What the Hell Thursday, and you know, we're bringing you these crazy stories trending in the news from around the world. Joining us today, digital correspondent Ashley Demme. We also have Street Senator, radio show co-host Lamont King. What the hell is Street?
Street Senators, man, we're the voice of the people.
Speak.
The voice of the people.
For the people, by the people, with the people.
With the people, that's how it goes. Right. Hottest podcast on iTunes, actually. Just had 1 million downloads this morning.
Rolling your face.
1 million new subscribers this morning.
You know, both of you. This is April 2nd. Yesterday was April Fool's Day. And we also have Lorenzo Big Zo Gamble.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. All right, nice little plaid tie. Okay. No, man, I'm just pointing out what I'm looking at there. So I do need to understand something here. So I was sitting here looking at y'all for a second there, and I was trying to understand what in the world was going on. Before the show, what were y'all doing? Were y'all playing a game or something? What were y'all doing?
Paper, rock, scissors.
Yeah.
We're trying to, cutting edge. That's cutting edge stuff. That's how you make decisions. That's how they do it.
Well, they was teaching me.
So y'all were deciding who got to sit where?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Trying to see.
Lorenzo, what? Do you even know what you're doing?
I didn't. I came up in a little
school. Okay, all right.
They didn't play that. They didn't have.
That's obvious. All right.
They had rocks.
They had rocks. They had paper, scissors. Right. They were real pro, huh?
Rock sticks.
They had rocks. All right, then. I see your bandana over there, your pocket square.
You like that?
All right, then. For you, Matt, Lorenzo, let me see. No, Henry, have somebody go in my desk, second
square.
Drawer,
Henry.
And pull some of the pocket
Henry.
Squares out, because this boy don't know what he's doing.
That purple
all right. A four-year, got to show Omegas how to wear.
It's nice.
All right, a four-year-old girl had a late-night craving, but instead of waking up her parents, she said, I got this. I'm going to handle it. Surveillance video, check this out, y'all. Shows four-year-old Annabelle getting on a bus by herself. The bus driver said she was calm, content, and she kept saying, I just want a slushie. All I want is a slushie from the 7-Eleven up the block. The driver called police, and she was quickly returned to her parents. What the hell? First of all,
she was thirsty.
Yeah. Hey.
She was thirsty.
If you thirsty, how you walk past the kitchen?
But it was nothing in the fridge.
You got to salute that her adventure spirit. I mean, that's your next CEO right there. That's your next state senator right there.
And you also got to understand the impact of Beyonce.
What's that?
7-Eleven song.
7-Eleven.
7-Eleven. 7-Eleven. That's where she was.
That's probably what was playing.
Mama, I'm thirsty. We ain't got no milk. I'm out.
Okay, but here's what I'm trying to say. How you get out the house?
Oh, that's easy.
And how you four?
Yeah, when your parents drunk, that's easy. You just
she four. My girl got dressed at the bus stop, waiting. Door open, cool. Get on. I'm all good.
I'm
here for a slushie.
See, we missing what really happened. The family was low on chaser. Because that's what it is. Slushy, that's a vodka situation. That's what it was. So it was late night, run, we need some cut.
Okay.
Go get the cut.
Okay.
We'll be here when you get back. Do it like we taught you. And then that's how it was.
Mama, ain't no milk. I got to go.
Forget the milk. I want a slushy. All right, folks.
Some cigarettes before you get back.
Pack of Kools.
Some humps.
And a blunt.
That's some girly magazines.
Indonesian police gave their entire town a contact high.
Ooh.
After setting over 1,000, y'all show the picture, please. 1,000 pounds of seized marijuana on fire. 1,000 pounds. The blunt bonfire had over $1 million worth of weed in it. Fumes quickly spread over the town, and only the officers had masks to keep from getting high. What the heck? Were they not familiar with the purpose of weed?
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't know they celebrated Christmas out there.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, who was the fool who said, you know what, we should go in and set this thing on fire?
Now, where is this again?
That's going to show them.
And what's the flights? How much are the flights in this place again?
Look at Neverland.
You know, Snoop got a summer house
out there. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't understand. Who made the call to say, yeah, go ahead and light that up? Yeah, nothing going to happen.
Mm-mm.
Everybody
Mm-mm.
just getting high at home. You ain't even have to leave the house.
It's legal in D.C.
You know, no work got done at all. Everybody like, what you doing? I'm just chilling, dog.
Everybody that's something from a policeman is mad.
But now it's going to be a drought, though. You know, prices going to go up. Packs get smaller.
Exactly.
But I don't know nothing about it.
You know nothing about it?
Mm, nothing.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah, but you only had a whole breakdown, right?
Yeah, gotcha. Before you're at its best.
All right, then. I got that. So comedian Chris Rock keeps getting pulled over by cops, and he's documenting it by taking selfies.
Ooh, nice.
Chris says he's been stopped at least 3 times in the last 7 weeks. He posted the first selfie on February 13th, again on February 27th, and finally on March 30th. Okay. Former Grey's Anatomy star Isaiah Washington tweeted Rock on Wednesday saying, I sold my $90,000 Mercedes G500 and bought 3 Priuses because I got tired of being pulled over by police. Hashtag adapt.
Wow.
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 Ain't no way in hell I'm going to sell my Mercedes for 3 Priuses. I'm just letting y'all know.
Oh, you too bougie. What's a Prius? Is good. They get on gas.
Good
they
gas
get on
gas. Mileage. You park
they
anywhere.
Get on gas.
But it don't
okay
matter.
Okay, first of all, you need to stop fronting. Because you know doggone well. I was like, girl, I can't wait till my man drive up in that Prius. Oh, he get great mileage in that Prius.
But he got 3 of them. He's
nah,
smart.
You're not getting in that Prius.
Yeah, nah,
you ain't getting in that Prius. Prius. If what your man say sold his Mercedes at G500 for a Prius, and he drove up, baby, I'm being economically savvy. Yeah. I saw you cussing them out. Don't even front.
As long as we're not going to Ruby Tuesday in the Prius, we good.
See,
I'm just saying.
He come over your house and be like, where's your plug at outside? I need to plug my car. You got a charge? I need to plug my
plug
car.
Right, right. Go to Ruth's.
Oh, you trying to use my electricity for your car? See? See? Stop lying. Stop lying.
But I mean, gas is high. Gas is high.
Like you paying for it.
I'm just saying. I'm thinking about the next consumer. That's how we do, right?
Whatever. All right, let me go to a break right now. Y'all know she ain't lost her mind. And in the next 60 seconds, I'm going to get this boy pocket square. Because he down there. He look naked.
I'm killing the game.
Any KKID, he naked. I'm Roland Martin, News 1 Now, TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
We're back with Lamont, Ashley, and Big Zoe. Lamont's up here tan stuff up. I don't know what the hell is he doing. I mean, my goodness. I mean, look, this ain't your raggedy home, okay?
I mean,
don't be messing up.
You got the ergonomical chair. You're not used to this.
All right, then.
I just got back from Indonesia.
Y'all, bring him here. Bring him here. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
You really met
Brooklyn,
man.
I only got three minutes left.
We're not doing that, though.
Wow. Lamont, pick one for that boy down there. Pick one for that boy down there.
Fashion by Bro.
Yeah, got an accent, right?
Hold no, hell. You're going to pass it down. Ain't no puffing pass.
You
know,
you get
ain't no puffing pass.
It
you gotta do it right. Okay.
That's magical how you do
baby,
it.
Baby, here, take he don't know what he's doing. Take that. Take that. Just like that.
Don't touch it. And
stick
it
in. Take that. Go ahead,
anyway.
Yeah, stick it in. Right, there you go. Hey, will you push it? What the hell are you doing?
Y'all accent each other, too.
Lord, she ain't know what she doing. Let me go. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Look what she did. Stop. Just stop. Lord, stop. Okay, let me do this here, y'all. ABC's Black is postponed at Black isms like black women who do not push down the pocket square. Many of us don't discuss in real life, but when I had to give Blackish actress Yara Shahidi a lesson on how to do the nod, remember that was a part of one of the shows, things got real.
So you had no idea about the nod?
No, I did, but the thing was I didn't know how to nod. So I would do one of these where I'd be like, hey, everybody.
Oh, you did like a slow nod.
Yeah, like a slow motion
like
over the top.
Oh, you didn't understand the pop? Like,
no, I didn't understand that at all. So then watching that episode, I was like, this is me. I understand this.
So you turn to your mama and say, Mama, you ain't teaching me about the pop.
No, she tried to. That was the killer part.
You were just not getting
it. I just couldn't do it.
Okay, you know that's funny. So, did you have it down now?
Kind of. I still go with more.
That was okay. But no, you got. It has to be more attitude.
More.
It's a pop. Okay, imagine you saying, "What's up?" You gotta say it too.
What's up?
No, you not raise your eyebrows. You gotta
like,
just hold.
What's up?
What's up?
See, you just what's up?
I know.
Pop. See, the back of your neck has to pop. You got to feel that space where it just. What's up?
For
the News 1 Now, Black and Special airs tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern on TV 1. Now, y'all know how to do the, Lord, this pocket square still. I'm going to have to do a class.
No,
I'm going to have to do a class.
I don't come dressing, man.
I'm going to have to do a class. Lord, I'm going to do a class.
He need to be front and center.
Right.
I don't come dressing.
Lord, whatever.
I came together.
Now, you know how to do the nod, right?
Yeah.
That's it. You know how to do the nod? What the hell was that? Yeah, she like she
old school.
No, nah, this is her nod. No, this is her nod.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I didn't say neck roll. I said a nod.
The body roll.
So you not gonna nod? What the hell was that? All right, y'all.
Yo. Simple.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we got the Blackest special.
We gotta do the.
Okay. Let me. Y'all got swagger. Let me show you. This is how you do the nod. Holla. Holla.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.